And hopefully everything will work. Here we go. And I thought about early on this week what message I was going to share with you. And I thought about Labor Day. And I can't remember the last time I heard a Labor Day sermon. And so I thought, well, what does God say about labor? And as I started doing this, I started putting some slides together, and Deb always tweaks my slides to make sure I spell everything correctly, because I'm a terrible speller. She said, well, Sunday is not Labor Day. Monday is. And I said, well, that's true, but it is Labor Day Sunday. And above and beyond that, Labor Day is today and tomorrow and every day when you think about it. And when we think about Labor Day, or at least as I was digging into scriptures and thinking about Labor Day, I thought about the fact that we are created in the image of God. And as I was reading, I hope you paid attention to what God said, that he created man in what? Our image. And the word for God in Genesis is Elohim in the Hebrew. And Elohim is a very common name for God. And what's the big deal with Elohim? Well, here's the big deal. Elohim is the plural for God. That's why it says our image. You were created, I was created, not only in the image of God the Father, but God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. All three were present at creation. Do you realize that? Now, Jesus had not yet come on the face of the earth. But as God always was, Jesus always was. And it was always God's plan that he was going to provide Jesus Christ to come and to die for us. And he was there when God created. And he was there when God created man. Now, what does it mean to be created in the image of God? Well, we know that God is the creator of all things. Amen? Amen? Is there any doubt about that? You know, I'm a hunter. I know Bruce is a hunter. Jim's a hunter. There's a number of us that are hunters here. And I love hunting, not because I get to subdue. Excuse me. Where's my cough still holding up? But it's a time when I can go out in the woods, sit in a tree stand, and sometimes my wife says, I don't understand why you do that. We just go out and sit forever, never knowing whether something's going to show up or not. But here's what you who are not hunters don't get, right? When we're sitting in a tree stand and we're hunting, we get to see all that God has created. Right, Jim?
Yep.
And it's a time when we can reflect upon all that God has created. And for me, it's a very special time, a time that I can some of you have heard the noise that I make, and that's why I have Deb lead Sathy and have you sing. And I have to be content with just, I don't know, whatever it is I do, speak, you know. But creation, you know, those of you that are so creative, I am not creative. I remember in my counseling training, had to take a bunch of courses, and we had what we called art therapy. Have any of you ever had art therapy? Yeah, a couple, yeah. And art therapy was like, I got to tell you, they gave me a bunch of glitter and, I don't know, crayons and markers and piece of paper and said, okay, now, I don't know, draw something that talks about your feelings. And I'm there, yeah. And so I thought, well, I'll draw myself. And the only thing I could come up with was a stick figure, you know, and had a Bible in my hand or something like that. And so I showed it to the instructor, and she said, what's that? And I'm there, well, I'm not very creative. This is the best I got. But, and as I look out at Bill and Carolyn, I see you guys out there. You guys create some wonderful things. I don't know how you come up with some of the stuff you do. It's very, very creative. And you're creating because God has given you that ability. Now, the difference between Bill and Carolyn creating something that's beautiful, and I can stand back and say, wow, that's beautiful. But God created, and the Hebrew word is ex nihilo, which means God. Out of nothing. Carol and Bill, can you create out of nothing? No.
They design. They don't create.
Yeah. And God created out of nothing. And God said, okay, I rule over the earth. And we all know that God is ruler over the earth. And he's ruler over all things. But here's the really neat thing. It says that God has given us dominion over all the earth. You know what that means? When you think of dominion, what do you think of? What I think of is that God says, you know what? I created all of this out of nothing for you. And you can create based on what I have created out of nothing. Now you can take that nothing that I've created, and now it's something that you can work with. You can work with. And not only that, but he says, you're in charge. You're in charge. I don't know about you, but think about that. God has said to you and to me, you're in charge. Think about that. You're in charge over all that I've done, the fish, all things, even the creepy things that Dub doesn't like. We have a snake that kind of hangs around, and you see her shaking her head, right? But God has given us, God's given you power over that. He's given you dominion over that, right? And this Labor Day, I want us to think about that, that God has given us charge over what he has created for us. And dominion means a couple of things. First thing it means is that we have the authority, God-given authority, to take care of the things that God has created for us. He's given us the authority to do that. He's given us the authority to care for one another, to care for our earth, to care for our world. What kinds of things are we doing to care for those around us? What are we doing to care for the earth and all the things that God has created for us? What are we doing? We have the authority to do it. God says, you're in charge. So what are you going to do? What are you going to do this Labor Day as you think about it? What are you going to do? Because not only do we have the authority, but we have a responsibility. We have a responsibility. Not only the authority, but the responsibility to take care of each other. To take care of the things that God has created for us to care for. Now, some of you are familiar with the Westminster Shorter Catechism. We are in a Presbyterian church, and the Westminster Shorter Catechism is a major tenet of what we believe here in this church, what I believe. And the Shorter Catechism was put together hundreds of years ago. And it asks, what is the chief end of man? How would you answer that? What is the chief end of man? Why was it that God created you? Did you ever think about that? Why did God create you?
Well, he loves us. He wants us to be united with him in the end if we live according to his ways.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Roger, you're ahead of me. That's okay. No. Uh-oh, what'd they do? There we go. Man's chief end, the catechism says, here's the answer to it, is to glorify God and what?
Enjoy
him forever. And those of us that know the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, and if you don't, come and talk to me. I'd love to talk to you about that. And just because you come to church doesn't mean that you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior or that you have a personal relationship with him. And in order to have that personal relationship with God and to bring glory to God, we must have Christ in our hearts and in our minds, in our attitudes, in our actions, in our behaviors, in all that we do. Whether that's create something, whether that's to work. By the way, do you realize that when God says subdue the earth, it means that we've got to work. We've got to work. In fact, a little further on in Genesis, it talks about, you know, the fall and what happened when the fall occurred. Well, it says that there will be pain now. We messed it up because we didn't obey God. And every single one of us sitting here today, we all have sinned against God. And we have fallen short of God's glory. And because of that, he says, okay, now pain is going to be the result for your disobedience. And how many of you love gardening? A few of you? Yeah, quite a few. I do too. Deb says, I don't know why you garden. So I'm completely responsible for the garden. Look at her shake her head. And I love garden work, but I hate weeds.
Oh, yeah.
You hate weeds too?
Yeah.
Okay.
Lots and lots of weeds.
Lots and lots of weeds. That's right. Thank you, Kaylee, for reminding us about that. And just like Kaylee, I hate weeds. And weeds are work. I mean, that's work. Right? But God says, okay, work. Pull those weeds. Get those weeds out of there so that the vegetables can grow. And work brings glory to God. 1 Corinthians 10:31, whatever we do, whether we're pulling weeds, you know, do you ever think about every day there's work to be done somewhere? Think about it, huh? Don't you wish that weren't the case? Well, Bob's at a place today where he doesn't have to worry about working anymore, right? Bible says that the work that Jesus Christ did on the cross. And when Jesus said, it is finished, it's done. And when we are ushered into heaven, it's done. Our work is done. But until that time, there's going to be pain. There's going to be toil. But remember this, work brings glory to God. Labor brings glory to God. in whatever way we labor. Whether we're driving an excavator, Gary. Gary's awake today. Last week I teased him, and my wife said to me, "You shouldn't have picked on Gary." And I think he was offended. And I have a way of doing that, I guess, to people. I don't know. So I called Gary up and said, "Hey, I hope I didn't offend you." And he said, "Al, if I'd have thought quick enough, I would have said, well, you woke me up," or something like that. And he totally was not offended. So if I mention you, I hope I don't offend you. So how do we bring glory to God? Because that's really where the question lies. How do we bring glory to God? Through working, through creating, through subduing the earth, taking charge and taking responsibility for what God has created us. But when we make the Lord Jesus Christ our personal Savior, and we all know John 3:16, or most of us do, that brings glory to God. That's the beginning of what it means to bring glory to God. And we confess our sin, 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sin, what does God do? Forgive us. Yeah. He is faithful and he is just, it says, to forgive us for our sin. And I am so encouraged that the last week or two, week and a half, that I had the privilege of being with two men that I know are in heaven today because they confessed their sin and asked Jesus Christ to come into their life. What a privilege, because that brings glory to God. And here's the next one. When we repent of our sin, and you know, it's one thing to admit our sin, and it's one thing to confess our sin, to name it upon our sin, like a computer monitors the data to see if there's any wicked way in us. And sometimes we're not even aware. But if we pray, "God, make me aware of my sin." Because that brings glory to God, people. But it's not enough just to be aware and to confess it, but to turn from it. To turn from it. To say, "You know what? I said this horrible thing over here. I lied. Whatever I did, I was malicious," right? But to identify that and to name that and then to say, "You know what? I'm not going to do that anymore. That's it. That's enough. I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm going to turn my back on that." Do you realize that brings glory to God? Let me ask that question again. Do you realize that brings glory to God?
Yes.
Amen? And I hope we are people who are learning each and every day to repent, to turn from our sin, because we sin every day in one way or another. That's right. That's right. And we can't do it without the Holy Spirit that makes us aware. But what are we going to do when we're aware? You know, I got to quit, but I'm reminded of one of the verses, I call it the scariest verse in the Bible. It's found in Romans chapter 1, and it says that, goes on, lists a whole grocery list of horrible things. And then it says, because they didn't repent, God gave them over. Think about that. Think about that. What would it be like if God threw up his hands and said, "Okay, you're not going to turn from your sin? All right, have it your way. I'm going to give it to you. There, run with it." What are you going to do? You talk about chaos?
Look at the world we live in right now.
Yeah. And the sin that goes unrepented of is chaos. That's why it's so important for us to repent of our sin, to turn from it. And when we do, Bringing glory to God means that we will commit to live our lives as holy and blameless disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. Think about that. To live our lives as holy. When's the last time you thought about, boy, I hope my life today, and I want to live my life today. And this ought to be the prayer of every single one of us. I want to live my life today to bring glory to you, to live a life that is holy and blameless, that we are the example, that when people see us, when they interact with us, they see Jesus. Well, that's Labor Day, and every day. We don't work just on Labor Day, we work every day. And that brings glory to God. Let's pray. Father, we come before you this morning and just thanking you for giving us dominion, giving us the responsibility. And we pray that we would step up and that we would take responsibility for the things that you've called us to take responsibility for. And one of the things that you've called us to, the most important thing that you've seen, but that we would identify it and that we would hate it and that we would turn from it. That's my prayer today, and I pray that this would be the prayers of your people. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.